3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
So welcome back to Creative Disturbance and Virtual Africa. My name is Yvan Tina. I'm a doctoral student in the Art and Technology program of UT Dallas. But I'm originally from Cameroon, and today I have the great pleasure to be with a distinguished guest, Mandla Maseko, who is the first African man citizen to go to space. And I also have with me Roger Malina, a former astrophysician, a current astrophysician, who will help me monitor the discussion. So please, Roger, do you mind introducing yourself?
Okay, so hello, Mandla. So my name is Roger Malina. I'm originally an astrophysicist and space scientist. And so for most of my career, I have built telescopes that were launched into space. But I'm now teaching in the Art and Technology program here. Let me mention, I have been in zero gravity.
Wow.
With a group of artists, we went to Star City outside of Moscow. Okay. And did parabolic flights on the cosmonaut training plane.
Yes.
Anyway, so I look forward to discussing with you on your space ambitions. So, Mandla, maybe you can introduce yourself and tell us about yourself.
All right. My name is Mandla Maseko. I'm also known as the Afronaut. That means that I will be the first Black South African. In fact, I'll be the first Black African in space this year, 2016. And I was born and raised in Soshanguve, and I am currently doing a pilot's course in the Air Force.
Actually, coming back to your nickname, the Afronaut, do you know what is the origin of that name? Because there's an artist, a Spanish artist called Cristina de Midal, that make a series of photographies, and even a movie has been produced with this title. So where does it come from in your case?
Well, the Afronaut was officially given to our first South African in space, which is Mark Shuttleworth. Afronaut basically means an astronaut from Africa. So you take the Afr from Africa, you put it on the astronaut, you replace it with the Afr. So it creates an Afronaut. So it's an astronaut from Africa.
So you've done some space camp training, I think, is that right?
We went to Cape Canaveral 2013 for a space camp where we did vigorous challenges and some training as well. I was also privileged enough to do a parabolic flight with the zero G flight, and I was able to experience zero G myself. So yes, I did some space training.
So as I mentioned to you, I was on a series of parabolic flights with a group of artists. And the joke I like to tell is when I came back home, my children wanted to know, Daddy, Daddy, what was it like?
Yeah.
And I couldn't find the words to describe it. And so what I told them, and they were teenagers, you know, in life, there is very different human experiences. There's music and rock and roll. There's drugs. There's sex. And you cannot compare zero gravity. So how was zero gravity for you? What do you remember of the experience?
For me, zero gravity was an amazing experience. You know, for you to be able to see your body just picking up from the ground like it's like a feather or nothing, basically. For me, that was an amazing experience. And when the airplane was going up as well, experiencing those G-forces on your body, wow. But yeah. The zero G flight, just seeing your body picking up, and we played human football, if there's such a thing. That's what we did.
I actually got quite sick. Did you have space sickness?
No, I did not have sickness. Reason being, it's because I grew up in the township. So in the township, you are able to face, or you are taught to face things head on at an early age.
So, mind over matter.
exactly my point. You know, I was doing a course last year, and the key words that they used to say is that if the mind is weak, then the body would suffer. So I think my mind is very strong.
So actually, talking about your background, can you just please recall the story that led you to win this selection, this program? How did that happen? From Pretoria and the township ended up being the first guy going to space.
So what happened was the ex-Apollo Space Academy was running a worldwide competition where they were hoping to take 23 hopefuls into space. And I had to send a picture of myself jumping from anywhere. I chose to jump off from top of the wall. And the radio station that was currently running the competition called me back. And they asked me a question, why do I want to go to space? And I said, I want to go down history as the first black South African in space and hopefully defy the laws of gravity too. And with that answer, I made it to the top 30 South Africans that went to a local space camp that was held in Free State Paris here in South Africa. And we did vigorous challenges there, you know, 10,000 feet skydiving above ground level. We did also what we call the vomit comet. And then top 30 was narrowed down to top 6. And then the top 6 had to do what we call a plane stunt. And then a plane stunt after... During the plane stand, we made it to the top 3, me, Dean, and Harun. And the three of us had to fly out to Cape Canaveral at the Astronaut Hall of Fame, where we did vigorous challenges for days, like your zero-G fly, your air combat jet, your G4 simulator. We even had to construct rockets, you know, and at the end of it all, we had to write an aptitude test. And out of 109 people from 75 countries, I made it to the top 23 people that will be launching into space, making me the first and only African to go to space by the year 2016.
You said that at the moment you're taking some pilot training, is that right?
Yes, I was able to obtain a sponsorship from Vugani Aviation, and I did my private pilot license at South African Flight Training Academy. And the Air Force recruited me to come and join the Air Force and to complete my piloting. So I'm currently doing my commercial pilot license in the Air Force, doing my ground school now.
Well, I only, when I was a young man, I did quite a lot of gliding. and I got as far as getting doing solo flights.
Wow.
But then I never continued. And I guess the thing is, just thinking about it, what is the difference between flying and zero gravity? How it feels.
All right. With flying, you are in control of things. You know, if ever you were to glide the plane to your left, then it's you on the controls. You turn it to the left, you turn it to the right. If you want it to pitch up, you pitch it up. If you want it to pitch down, you push down the controls, pitch down. Whereas with zero G flight, your body is floating. You don't have control over that. There is nothing pulling you down like the gravity that we have on Earth. But at some point, you are able to control it. But like they said, floating, it's not like you're swimming. Because I could see people doing this, like they're swimming inside the water. And you can't swim on air. So, yeah, that's the difference, I guess.
Yeah, so indeed, you know, one of the big differences, and you've already said it, is when you're flying, you always know which way is up and which way is down.
Yes.
Even if your body is upside down, you still know the direction of gravity. Of
yes.
course, in zero gravity, you lose that reference. And I remember I experienced on one of the parabolas something that astronauts have talked about, which is suddenly you're not quite sure where the edge of your body is. Because, you know, when you're sitting in a plane, you know exactly where the chair is. You know, but suddenly, and so the edge of your body in a plane is very clear. But in zero gravity, I kind of felt, you know, and I think you're right, it's not like swimming at all.
It's not like swimming. You don't even know whether you're sitting up or down or by sideways. But that's the nice thing about experiencing the zero-g flight, you know. Yes.
Yeah, and when you're swimming, of course, you feel the pressure of the water, so you know exactly where your skin is. So it is really, from a human point of view, a totally different and foreign experience. It's really so difficult to explain to someone who hasn't been in zero gravity.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
Just to reconnect back with the question of Africa, what did you actually learn for this process about the story of astronomy and space in the African context?
You know, I've realized that the possibilities are endless. We just need to go out there and put in effort, you know, fight for what you believe in, and hard work hard, and we will get to where you want to be. And in terms of space and South Africa and Africa as a whole, I think we are at a level whereby now we can compete in an international level. I was able to go and represent South Africa at the International Astronautical Congress that was held in Canada in the year 2014. And I was happy to see a few African houses there in the marquee that they had. And I can safely say Africa is on the verge of breaking the international barrier when it comes to space, science, and technology.
So if you think ahead for the coming century, what do you think the benefits of space might be for South Africa?
Oh, okay. Firstly, in the next century, I see South Africa and Africa as a whole having their own space stations. You know, us being able to launch our own space shuttles and taking people to the moon and hopefully Mars, you know, and join the race as well of going to Mars, of taking people to Mars as well. And the benefits that we can reap off from space travel is that, like my space flight, they're trying to make it a commercial flight, whereby now instead of traveling for days or hours by plane from one country to another, we can actually travel through space and it can be a less short time, maybe an hour or so, because of traveling through space is much faster than traveling at 40,000 feet, if I can put it that way. So the benefits would be that the traveling would be at an international level as well. Also, we're able to see land whereby people can do agriculture and do farming and everything. And by so doing, we need to launch satellites like the satellite we have now, which is called Tepiso. It's a ZAQ-1, and its primary duty is to make sure that it sends space data to us regarding the weather, where is land moist, where people can when people can farm and all that. So I think those are the benefits that we can benefit from in terms of space flight and space travel.
Given the story of Africa, how do you deal with the question of space colonialism?
I attended a talk 2 weeks back, and I like what the answer was given, is that if we don't do these space travels, space exploration, who will? You know, there's very severe sun rays that come from the sun. And they are at a level whereby they're traveling in the speed of light. And if we are not able to see such things happening or about to occur, then we will become basically, how do I put this? Ooh. An extinct race. So we do need space in our lives and be able to do explorations and invest in space science and technology, space exploration, space travel, be able to read satellites, stars, and everything, so that we can be able to prevent such disasters from happening.
Very good. Unfortunately, we're going to have to finish pretty soon. Maybe I could ask a last thing. If you could send a message to your descendants 200 years from now, what would you like to tell them? I promise to archive this podcast for 200 years.
Yes. So I need to be careful what I have to say. I saw one joke. It says, 1 hour in this planet, it's 7 years in Earth. And so this one said, so then I'll do my PhD here. All right. If I ever had to send, are you still there, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I would tell them life isn't what it is, you know. People make it seem like it's difficult and it's tough and all those things. Actually, it is not. I believe anyone has the will and the drive to become whatever that they want to become. So I would tell them that in everything that they do, they must make sure that they always shoot for the moon. Because even if they miss, they will definitely land amongst the stars. And also that sky is not the limit. Your mind is. That is what I would tell them.
Very good. My ancestors emigrated from Central Europe to Texas. And let me tell you, I would like to thank my ancestors because indeed, at that time, moving from Central of Europe to America was as difficult as going into space today.
Yeah.
200 years from now, we will be a space culture. And
amen.
So I'm sure your descendants will thank you also.
I hope so. And, you know, I see a future whereby we'll be an intergalactic, interplanet race whereby you're able to travel now from Earth to go to Mars, or from Mars you go to another planet. So I also have that dream in 200 years from now.
Thank you very much, Mandla.
Thank you, Mandla.
Thank you very much.
See you in space.
Thank you guys for having me, and Godspeed.
Okay.
Thank you.
3, 2, 1. 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.